The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the show that answers the questions, could you milk a cockroach?
By the way, cockroach milk is really yummy. Some would even say nummy.
This announcement has been brought to you by the Cockroach Dairy Council.
And now the man who once wrangled cockroaches for a living in Kansas City, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the show. Typically on the show, I have guests, and today is no exception. My guest today is my friend, Victoria Jackson. Vicky, welcome back.
Thank you.
I can't believe we've dreamed about, you know, doing TV together, and finally, you know, we can do it.
Cool.
I mean, because we've done a lot of radio, but it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
Because I think you're very physical. You have a kind of persona and a twinkle that it comes across on radio, but it really comes across more.
Twinkle.
Yes.
I like that.
You have a twinkle. In fact, sweet. You've got 1.8 twinkles. That's a metric twinkle.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Vicky, whenever we're together, I want to talk to you about Hollywood stories because you were on The Tonight Show with Carson. You've met all kinds of people. You've got stories about Warren Beatty and Sean Connery. For example, can you imitate Sean Connery?
This is Sean Connery. What's your schedule like?
Have you noticed that he's gone off the radar? Like, he's just disappeared. Like, he's pretty old. And so suddenly you don't see him anymore.
Hey, what's wrong with being old? I'm 60.
Well, is today your birthday? Still?
I don't know.
But I interviewed a week ago and it was your birthday. Let me ask you some questions.
I don't know.
And I'm going to be very specific. Who's Christine the Weightlifter?
Okay, so I just did this movie called Lost Heart.
You just wrapped a movie?
Yes.
This is show business, so you can say, I just wrapped a movie.
You just wrapped
a movie in Michigan.
Yeah.
But if you wrapped it in Michigan, is it really a movie? You know what I'm saying?
No.
No? Well, people don't typically wrap movies in Michigan.
Okay, so you think the flyover country is not important?
I don't think Michigan is flyover country. It's Michigan.
It was beautiful.
Michigan is the land of, you know, Reformed theology and tulips. There's a lot of tall Dutch people.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to Traverse City, Michigan, in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
To speak?
Yeah, of course.
What are you speaking on?
I don't remember. I forgot. There's a number of subjects I can talk about, but we want to talk about you. So,
okay.
Christine the Weightlifter, you just wrapped a movie in Michigan.
Yes.
Okay.
I was trapped in this beautiful place, and I was hiking through the woods.
Is this in the film?
No, in real life, I was trapped for 2 weeks without a car in a...
Oh, when you were shooting the film, you were trapped in this beautiful area in Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay,
because, you know, they own you if you're in the movie.
I'm going to translate for you. Okay,
if
so
they
you...
say get up at 6, you get up at 6, and you put makeup on, and you cry on cue.
I don't put makeup on for any man. Okay, so seriously, you're trapped there. So what happened?
Yeah. So I made friends with Christine Marie, and she's a 5-time weightlifting champion.
Excuse me, is she in the movie?
Yeah,
she's in the movie. So you met a real woman who's a weightlifting champion.
Yeah,
and what's her role in the movie?
She plays my sister-in-law, and my husband dies, and my daughter from it. It's very.
Don't give away the plot.
Okay.
But the point is that this weightlifter plays your sister.
Yeah. In-law.
Sister-in-law. Does she seem like a weightlifter in the movie, or does she seem like a regular person who works out?
I think in the movie she just looks like a very fit person.
Okay.
But she's like 4'11", all muscle. She inspired me. We did all these fun things together because on our days off, you know, we're just trapped there. And why was I telling you about her?
You know,
there's millions of people wondering that right now.
Oh, we inspired each other. Oh, what, I wrote a poem called The Orange Butterfly, and I would like to read that to
okay,
you.
Okay, hold on a second. I groove on your kind of like kooky, distracted blonde shtick. I you know, I can groove on that
just
that,
so long
that rubble. But the point is, I still there's a point where I feel like I want to reel you in sometimes because I don't want you to. You it seemed like you had a story concerning Christine, the weightlifter.
Yeah,
did she lift actual weights while you were with her?
No, but we went on hikes and. Well, one cool thing that happened was the first day on the set, I had to cry, and that's hard for me. And I was standing with my fake daughter, and we saw this orange butterfly. And I said, you know, when I was young, I would have written a poem about that butterfly and how meaningful it is and how...
But now you're jaded.
And now I'm old.
And dementia and incontinence and stuff. A lot of that happens when you get older.
I don't have incontinence.
I know, but you could.
Yeah.
Okay, and so...
And I'm like, who cares about a stupid butterfly?
I guess the point is if you're suffering from incontinence, you're not thinking about writing poems.
Yes. And so I was focusing on my lines, but... And I'm like, oh, Lord, help me to cry on cue. And then my fake daughter, Melissa, this great actress, I'm not just saying that, she's unbelievably
great.
Does
she have a last name?
It's hard to say. A-N-S-C-H-U-T-Z.
A-N-S-C-H-U-T-Z. Anschutz.
She's like...
Melissa Anschutz.
Yeah, she's going to get an Oscar. I'm one of these days, and she plays my daughter.
So she plays your fake, she's your fake daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, so the butterfly flits by.
Yeah.
Because that's what butterflies
and
do.
And I go, when I was young, I would have written a poem about that. And she goes, well, why don't you write one now? And I went, so I started thinking about it, and I wrote it, and I...
You wrote a poem about an orange butterfly?
Yeah, and I wanted to read it to you.
Would you share it with the group? I think of this as kind of like an encounter group, like in the 60s. They had these encounter groups.
But I just want to tell
and
you.
And I want, and in this encounter group, I want us just to share our feelings and stuff. And I want you, if you've written a poem, you need to share it with the group.
Well, I have to look it up in my phone in the commercial. But I want to tell you, when we wrapped yesterday and they gave me a birthday party, they pasted orange butterflies all over the room in honor of me. Isn't that sweet?
Are you sure they weren't mocking you? I don't think they were mocking you. I don't think they were. I think it was very earnest.
And then the next day, me and the bodybuilder, we saw a dead butterfly. And I go, let's write a poem about this. Life stinks, people leave, and butterflies die.
Let me write that down. So I can get it out of my mind. Life stinks.
People leave.
People leave.
And butterflies die.
And butterfly. You know what?
But
there is something.
No, that's not the poem I'm going to read to you.
No,
that's,
no, but you wrote that poem.
That poem I wrote after I saw a dead butterfly.
But can I tell you, that's pretty good, Vicky.
Well, Christine helped me.
Well, let me tell
she
you.
She wrote the line, people
needed,
leave.
You needed a weightlifter to write the saddest line of all, people leave.
Well, I think
we need to talk to Christine the weightlifter about what specific person is she referring to.
Yeah, I know who.
Life stinks, people leave, butterflies die. But you know what that's like? That's like a poem. Like that's so
haiku?
Funny. It's so sad and horrible that it's funny.
Yeah. the name of it is
Life Stinks. Actually, no. See, here, I think you have a problem. I think because I've written many poems, Life Stinks should be the title.
No,
and then
the
you
title.
Should have another
no.
line besides
no, no, no.
"People
hey,
leave and
Mr.
butterflies
Yale.
die."
Mr. Yale.
Yeah,
I think the title should be called "The Dead Butterfly."
That's but, so stupid.
No,
that
it's
is
not
so stupid.
Stupid.
I mean, if you're writing a poem and the ultimate line is butterflies die, you don't want to tip it off.
Oh, that's true.
In the dead butterfly. Maybe it could be the dead butterfly and other poems by Victoria, you know, name withheld upon request.
It could be the orange butterfly part two.
Life stinks, people leave, butterflies die. I think the title of the poem should be Life Stinks. And it should be something, something, people leave, butterflies die. Because
yeah.
you want another,
right.
like Life Stinks is too
right,
general.
Right, right.
And you want people leave. So how about Life Stinks,
People leave. So, like, what are the bad things? People leave. That's so sad. Butterflies die. How about kittens scratch? No.
No. Well, think about it. In the end of the
really
show,
important. I think it's really important that in the course of the show we come up with the line.
Yeah, because you know,
if only this were a call-in show, people could supply the genius. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, more with Victoria Jackson.
I gotta find my poem.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Hey there, folks. My name is Eric Metaxas, and my guest is Victoria Jackson. Victoria, we were talking about a number of things. You just wrapped a movie, and on the movie you wrote a poem. While you were shooting the film, you had this experience with an orange butterfly.
Yes.
Does the butterfly have a name? Did you stay in, are you going to stay in touch with it, or was this like just a fling? What was that?
I think the butterfly died.
Okay, so when you saw the dead orange butterfly, you were convinced it was the same butterfly.
You know how animals all look the same, like all Cocker Spaniels look the same?
Well, I certainly know that butterflies look... I wouldn't be like, hey, that's a butterfly I saw 2 weeks ago, and I can tell because, like, the dimple or something. Well, like, butterflies are basically bugs, you know?
All orange butterfly monarch butterflies
look monarch.
The same.
Oh, it's practically cliche. Okay, so...
You ready to hear the poem?
So you wrote an earnest poem about the orange butterfly. I love your stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I don't really write poems much anymore, but I was on the set trying to get tears going for this big scene, and my fake daughter, great actress, Melissa.
Ann Schutz.
She was staying there, and I go, we were looking at the orange butterfly, and I said, you know, when I was young, I would have made, oh, that's meaningful. God is looking at me. I would have written, and now I'm like, and she goes, well, why don't you write one now? So she put that in me.
So she egged you on.
She inspired
me. She double dog dared
you. In many ways.
Yeah.
Like, I was acting with her, and we got really close because we played mother-daughter.
Right.
And so anyway, here it is. Okay. The Orange Butterfly by Victoria Jackson. In the middle of today, as my mind flitted from worry to worry, I saw an orange butterfly flitting from flower to flower. In my younger days, I would have pasted passionate poetry to his important presence in my path, and the deep prophetic meaning of our random meeting would have recorded itself in my writing so relevant to all generations before and behind. But now, with creaks and groans, my cynicism scoffs at writing a rhyme about a bug in a bush, let alone me and our shared destiny. My broken dreams have left me at the brink of bitterness. But hope must spring eternal, because amidst my furrowed soul and downward glance, I have grasped the foolish chance to grab my eagerness of days gone by and fancy myself a poet who wrote The Orange Butterfly.
Oh. Now, Vicky, I've heard other poems by you, and you're really good. That's not like my favorite, but there's several lines in there that are wonderful. And the poem, the rhyme at the end, why is that so sweet?
My daughter said, did you on purpose not rhyme until the end? And I was like,
But it actually makes sense, right? Speaking as a literary critic, the idea is that rhyming is something that is typically thought of in this day and age as somewhat saccharine and dated, you know, kind of like a Norman Rockwell drawing is not considered art because it's too on the nose or something. I disagree with that, and there's something really sweet about rhyming, but it's interesting that you're expressing this cynicism that's not in rhyme, and then as you turn the corner, it rhymes.
That's what my daughter Aubrey said.
I said it first.
I didn't plan that, but thank you for listening. I just kind of think of it as this time in my age and my life when it's kind of hard not to get bitter. I had cancer 4 years
ago. Wait a minute.
You know,
you had cancer. How could you not be happy? You could be dead.
I'm super happy.
You could be dead And imagine the kind of a show we'd
well,
be having right now.
Well, if I was dead, I would be super more happy because I'd be in heaven but where the there's point, no death or crying anymore.
But Vicky, the point is that how can you be bitter when the Lord healed you of your cancer and you're sitting here with hair? I assume that's your hair.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Most of it.
Okay, so?
I got my hair back. God healed me.
Okay, so how can you be on the brink of bitterness? That was a good line. I like alliteration.
Me too.
Alliteration, the brink of bitterness. But I also like the line, the phrase, furrowed soul. That's really good, Vicky.
Yeah.
That's really good. I don't care what they say about you. No, that really, but you know something? That's really sweet, but the other poem about the dead butterfly.
You like it
better? I probably like it better just because it's so funny.
Yeah, we need a first line, though.
Okay,
if the title is Life Stinks, then the first line has to be something different, like.
Okay, hold on. Because I'm tracking with you, but
I know.
For something to die is sad.
How about
for
this?
Somebody to leave is sad. What's the other thing?
How about if the first line is, I have acid reflux?
You're really good.
And then the second line is people leave, and the third is butterflies die. Because you know what? Acid reflux can ruin your day. You know?
Actually, I think it's funnier if it starts with people leave.
Why?
Because it's so dark.
Oh,
people
I like
leave.
It in the
like
middle.
It's so dark. No. Because then it's like the poem is Life Stinks. People leave.
Actually, I have to tell you. What I taught my daughters.
You're right, but it's better with
I got to tell you what I taught my daughters, and it might not be biblical, but it kind of is. When they were growing up, I said, look, I'm your mom. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Can you say, I think I should
you wanna write it
soften
down?
It a little.
You want to write it down?
I said, kids, life stinks.
You said life is a...
No.
Rhymes with rich.
No, I don't say that word.
Okay, life.
Stinks.
I don't like when people say that other word.
I don't either.
I think of it as a curse word, but that's another story.
I don't even say.
So let's say stinks.
Okay. So I told them life stinks. Men are pigs. Women are evil.
But
God is good.
Women are pigs.
Men are pigs.
Women are evil.
And life stinks, but God is good. That's what I taught them. And you know what? It's true. Life is very, very hard.
No, but here,
God is always there, and he's always good.
Okay.
And, yes, go
ahead. No, there's truth in what you just said. Here's the problem with it.
I was just saying men and women are sinners.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Here's what I have to say, and it's my show. No, seriously, when you say... Men are pigs, women are evil. And what was the other one?
Life stinks.
Okay.
But God is good.
When you say men are pigs, women are evil, like the idea of men are pigs, like the fact is, no, there are many, many, many men who are not.
Yeah,
and
but
so
if
it's
you're
not
at
right.
Starbucks with your man and there's a beautiful 20-year-old over there, they're going to go like this.
No, they don't need to do that.
They do it, even if they can't help it.
Look, maybe Paul does it. If he were in the room, I would give you guys counseling right now. But he obviously has elected
to
go
to
the Starbucks
across the street.
I mean, why do they have to go like this? That's funny.
I mean, can't they just...
That's funny. He did like a spanky double take.
No, he didn't do it like that. He does it
like
this.
One of those. He didn't do it. Well, that's... But that's not really worthy of saying men are pigs. I think that's a little strong. It's a little harsh, Vicky.
It's kind of harsh.
I hate to correct you, but let me just say that's a little harsh.
It is harsh.
That's a little harsh because there are many
brink of bitterness.
Wonderful men. I have known so many wonderful men and so many wonderful women in my life that it does them a disservice when you make a blanket statement. So when people have been embittered by life or by their spouses or something like that, you have to be careful because, in a way...
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but I had 5 pastors commit adultery.
You had them do it?
My Bible college president, while I was there, and then 4 other pastors. So a little bitterness starts
but
to seep into my little rose.
Did you ever think maybe you're picking the wrong churches? Do you ever think it was your fault?
Good point.
Do you ever think maybe it was your fault, Vicky?
But I have a happy...
Do you ever think it was... Your fault.
But I have a happy ending. I have a happy ending.
Your finger's pointing back at you.
I have a happy ending.
What's the happy ending?
That the gospel is being spread by sinners, but it's still holy, it's still good news, and sinners are passing it on to each generation. And we're all sinners, but God is holy, and we're passing on the hope of that.
That is beautiful, if besides the point. No, seriously. That's beautiful. Come on. Listen to me. That's beautiful. But what I was going to say was, I think that whenever something like that happens, right, like
yeah.
the pastors do that, there's a few things to think about, right? First of all, holiness is important. And so when you hear those things, I don't think you want to make them normative. Like, you make, hey, we're all sinners.
Yeah.
No, you know, like, we have to really try to hang out with people who will prevent us from making those horrible mistakes. Because we all know we're capable
yeah.
of these horrible mistakes because we know we're sinners. So you have to think, like, so when somebody does that, I always think, like, they let the team down, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, not good. And it hurts yeah. your kids, and it hurts
and
the kid, you know. So it's like
leaders are held to a higher standard, and God said, "Be holy, as I am holy."
And
so we can't just say, "Oh, oops."
And how many pastors do I know
that
have absolutely not done that? They are incredibly wonderful, faithful, tremendous people. Okay, we're gonna go to break. We'll be right back.
Was that too heavy?
Yeah.
Time ago, what a woman can do to your soul.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm sitting with Victoria Jackson. Vicky, stop looking at your phone. Bad, bad, bad. We wrote a poem, or we're trying to fix this poem, about, it started out as life stinks, people leave, butterflies die, which is sort of funny. And so we've been trying to rewrite it, and mm-hmm. I thought we need a better line. We should title it Life Stinks, because it's more general.
Yes, and you changed my line, acid reflux, to a pimple.
You said, I have acid reflux. People leave, butterflies die. And I thought maybe I have a blister.
I like blister. I don't like pimple.
I have a pimple.
But I liked your other title, Why Go On?
I think the title should be Why Go On.
So read it to everyone how...
But we changed it to we changed it.
Here's the live butterfly that I was...
That's the butterfly that died?
That I took a picture of. It's gone. This is
the
live one. Wait.
Yeah, but it died.
Well, I'll show you the picture of when it died, too.
We've all seen butterflies, Vicky. It's no big deal. Hey, it's no big deal.
Special moment.
But, I mean, if you had a live butterfly on the show, but a picture on your phone of a butterfly,
okay.
It's not going to cut it.
Well, dead butterflies.
This is a big show.
Okay, then can I
We should have butterfly wranglers in here with like, you know, butterflies doing, like, you know,
well,
stuff.
Since you mentioned pimple, I thought I would bring one of my pimple songs out from 1980-something.
I wanted to kind of set you up by mentioning pimple because I was hoping you'd sing the pimple song.
Okay. I turned my pimple into a beauty mark, and no one knows what really goes on beneath the black dot of my face. I'm not a disgrace anymore. I took a thick black pen to the big red zit and darkened it. And covered it, and now a beauty mark is all that shows by my nose. You may think it oh so vain to cover all the sins our bodies bear. I'm happy with my beauty mark now, and I might just keep it in. But I think I feel another pimple starting on my chin, and I can't keep making beauty marks till my face is full of black speckles. That'd be worse than pimples. I know. I'll turn them into freckles.
That is so cute. You are so cute. I can't stand it. If your husband weren't in the building, I would kiss you. Now, listen, seriously, is that a ukulele or is that just a midget guitar? What is
this
that?
This is a baritone ukulele, and
yes.
That song was from when I was very young and actually worried about pimples. Now I get cancer.
Yeah.
A lot more serious.
Try to rhyme with cancer.
Yeah, I mean, pimple schmimple.
Man.
Would you rather have
but
a pimple or cancer?
But why are you saying that? The Lord healed you of your cancer.
Yeah, I'm healed. Because it could come back.
Okay, can I tell you something? We're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, right? And some people watching this think, hey, you're dying right now.
Absent
so
from...
So let's pick it up. Let's get a little happy.
Excuse me?
A little happy.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a win-win.
Is that from the Khalil Gibran?
No, it's
okay.
From the Bible. And by the way, I wanted to tell you I've been studying the Torah lately.
Is the Torah a part of the Bible?
Yes.
Then why don't you say that?
Because Torah studiers like to say Torah.
I know. It sounds kind of like I'm digging deep.
I am.
Going to the Torah.
I am digging.
Okay, so the Torah is the first five books, or no, the Torah is
Genesis,
what is the Torah?
Exodus, Leviticus,
that's the
Numbers, Deuteronomy.
That's the Pentateuch.
Moses wrote them.
Okay, so you're studying the Pentateuch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and why are you specifically studying the first five books now?
Well, actually, I studied Isaiah, then I took a course on the Sabbath, and then I'm studying the...
You're not supposed to do stuff on the Sabbath.
Yes, you are. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath.
But you took a course on the Sabbath? You're not supposed to do that.
No, I took a course about...
You said I took a course on the Sabbath. That's like turning on your stove on the Sabbath.
Okay, read everyone the poem we wrote together
okay,
today. On my birthday.
Okay, so we retitle it, Why Go On? Why Go On by Victoria Jackson, Eric from Texas. Why Go On? Balloons pop. People leave. Butterflies die. The end.
It's fantastic. You put the Yale touch on it.
I really did. I really did. I really learned a few things over at old Yale.
But the weightlifter.
Man, I got to tell you.
The weightlifter, Christine, wrote the line, people leave.
People leave. That's so dark. That's what makes it funny. Like, how dark can this poem be? People leave? Like, who is writing this? This is suicidal. And then butterflies die? That's like a parody. You just can't make this
stuff
up.
We just made beautiful art together today.
It's incredible. Never mention a month in show business.
Oh,
it's bad luck.
No, it's the day and the month. No, sorry.
Okay, so, Vicky, I think we're out of time. Can we go back to Ernest Borgnine?
I've never met him.
Is he the guy that came out of the bedroom in the Warren Beatty house?
No.
No? Can we guess who it was?
No.
Was it Harvey Korman?
No.
Really? It was not Harvey Korman. No. Oh, now you're saying it's not?
No.
Okay, so it was an actor, and this was in the 80s. Wait a minute. Don't tell me. Robert Downey Jr., of course.
No. It wasn't him.
I figured it out.
It wasn't him.
It was Bobby. It was Bobby all along. I knew it. Was it John Cazales?
Who's that?
He was married to Meryl Streep. He played Fredo in The Godfather.
What?
He was in Dog Day Afternoon. He played Fredo in The Godfather.
I don't watch boy movies.
Boy movies? Mm. The Godfather is a great film. I mean, it's a little dark. My father took me, when I was nine, he took me to the drive-in to see The Godfather.
That's child abuse,
right? Yes. But my father, you know, he was a Greek immigrant. He didn't understand the mores of our culture. We're out of time. We'll be right back. More Victoria Jackson on the other side of this break. It is no secret there's a food crisis in Central America. It generates headlines every day. I am now partnering on this program with Food for the Poor to help save the lives of displaced children and their families from Venezuela, who, by the way, are now trapped in Colombia with nothing to eat. You can't imagine, folks. They need our help. We want to rush life-saving food and emergency relief to these kids. Here's the phone number for 863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. If you've been watching Creflo Dollar and now you're watching this show, it's not a mistake. We're a big tent kind of channel. Hey, Vicky,
here's
I hate to interrupt your texting, but we're trying to do a show.
Look,
and you're the guest, so you have some responsibilities.
Of the dead butterfly.
Isn't that sweet?
It couldn't move.
We need to move on.
But look.
Yeah, you're showing the camera a phone picture of a dead butterfly. Have you ever been on TV at all? Like, what are you doing?
These are my kids when they
were
little.
This is so sad. No one cares.
How cute is that?
No one cares.
Everybody cares. My children. Greatest thing that ever happened.
Of course, it's very sweet.
It's a miracle.
Can I show you a picture of my grandkids? I can't. Because I don't have grandkids. But you mentioned Tom Waits earlier.
Yeah.
I heard a CD where he sang a song, The Blood of Jesus Never Fails. And he sang it over and over and over and over. And I thought, that is interesting. Tom Waits is singing this. I don't know. Somebody can Google it. But it was very moving. It was really moving. And I thought, why is he doing this? You know, sometimes these hipsters, they're kind of rummaging around in the truth drawer, if you know what I'm saying. Right?
That's very,
you know what I'm saying? Isn't that pretty deep? I just made that up.
Did you just make that sentence up?
Yeah, I did. I'm a writer. I do that. Okay, so I think we're done. Can we talk about Ernest Borgnine?
Can I put the cake in my face right
now? No. You're going to the Hamptons to see David Sedaris? Yeah. You can't do that stuff.
When I had cancer, I wrote this song. I'm irrelevant. I'm irrelevant. I'm working on that. And then at the end of it, I smash a pie in my face.
I thought you'd never done that before. Have you ever met
Soupy? Not on TV.
Have you ever met Soupy Sales?
No.
No?
No, but I met Dean Martin.
You met Dean Martin?
I worked with him.
No.
I worked with Joe Pesci.
I don't care about that. Let's go back to Dean Martin.
Well, yeah, I don't
Wait a minute.
Have any story.
Where were you that you worked with Dean Martin?
It was a TV show called Half Nelson, and Joe Pesci was the star, and I was his love interest, and it was 1984, and Dean Martin was on it.
You met Dean Martin? Did you take a picture with him?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I think it's on my website.
Really? Dean Martin, you know, it's just hard for me not to admire him. I love him. I interviewed his daughter on this program. Did you know that? Her name is Dina Martin, and she sings, and that was a wonderful interview. But I got to say that that's pretty cool. Who else did you meet? That's really neat.
I want to meet Martin. Bob Dylan.
You want to meet Bobby? Mm-hmm. I'll hook you up. Mm-hmm. Alvin, get a Bobby's email. But you've worked with all these big stars, Warren Beatty. But when you were on SNL, we got to say, because, you know, SNL back then – Joe Piscopo was on when you were there, wasn't he?
No,
Piscopo?
He was before me, but I did stand up with him a lot of times.
You did?
With him and Father Guido Sarducci. And
what the heck happened to Father Guido Sarducci?
He's still doing his thing.
He's still doing Father Guido Sarducci?
Yeah.
Find the Pope in the pizza.
And I was on with Dennis Miller and Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and...
Phil Hartman, that's one of the
Kevin
most tragic
Nealon.
Stories ever, I have
Jan
to
Hooks
say.
Dunn.
What?
I was just saying all the people.
And who was the other one, Jan?
Jan Hooks, Nora Dunn, Kevin Nealon, and then when I was...
But Dana Carvey, I'm thinking there's a standout. Dana Carvey...
He was like the star.
He's the standout because he was able to do... Who could imitate George Bush Sr.?
And the church lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Dana Carvey, wow. And so, but you were on for like six seasons, so you must have overlapped with some other people.
Yes, when I was old, then Adam Sandler and David Spade and Chris Farley came, and they were the new people when I was the old people.
David Spade and Chris Farley, when you think of how many tubby comedians died on that show, I mean, you have John Belushi dies, right? John Candy dies. He was not on Saturday Night Live. But it's like they were very addictive personalities.
Yeah.
Chris Farley was brilliant, but he let himself go. He was like,
An addictive personality too.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
But I mean, the point is that you realize now, somebody around them should have said, "Hey, slow down, pal." Like they were just. I mean, Chris Farley, really, when I heard he died, that was very sad.
You know the sketch he did with Patrick Swayze at Chippendale's audition. That's my favorite of all time.
Oh, my God.
And I had one line in it, and I was, like, so happy that I got to be... it's classic magic.
You're in that
magic.
Sketch?
Well, all I do is say, they're ready for you, but I was,
still,
like...
still, that's like you're in that sketch.
But, I mean, that's, like,
What other sketches
magic.
Have you done that would people might know?
Aren't we over now?
Over what?
I ran out of stories.
No, you never run out of stories. Wait, I want to go back. When you were on SNL, you said that Dana Carvey was there and Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman was a genius. And when I heard that he died, I mean, it's really a lot of these SNL folks have died. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, when you think Gilda Radner,
everybody dies.
John Belushi, I know everybody dies eventually, but these people are all like, you know, not, they're not that old. John Belushi died young. Gilda Radner died young.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase's career died. And
hey, you be nice to him.
Do you know Chevy?
I met him once, but the vacation movies are brilliant.
You know, I've never seen them. I was in college at that time.
Aren't they, everybody?
Oh my goodness. There's nobody in the building. You can't fool me.
That's the only movie I can watch over and over.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but seriously, a lot of those folks died. And Phil Hartman was so brilliant. I mean, he did the best Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I was in that sketch.
You were?
I had to be Edie Gourmet.
You played Edie Gourmet?
And I didn't know how.
Nobody listening to this knows who Edie Gourmet is, except five people.
And, like, her husband was named, you know, and they sang together. And
Steve Lawrence.
Yeah. And so I told the department at SNL, can you get me a video of her so I can know how to copy her? Because I didn't have anything come into my mind.
Right. Whatever happened to Edie Gourmet? Edie Gourmet?
And I
what is this
like
show?
This.
What has happened to this show?
Yeah, Frank, whatever you say, Frank. Because
that's pretty good.
Like, because they wrote it so they were like kissing his butt. And
right,
because
that's what everybody did with Frank and Jilly.
Yeah, Frank, whatever you say, Frank.
That was good.
And I had like a black wig. And then like Jan Hooks played Sinead O'Connor bald.
Uh-huh.
And then...
okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Got out of town on a boat from the Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea.
Hello, folks. This is the last segment in the show. If you already checked out, join the club. Vicky, we don't have anything to say to each other anymore. I think we're done here.
My brain is asleep right now because last night...
That's too on the nose. People can read that. People know. Yeah. They can feel that the energy is gone.
Because last night at my hotel in New York City, I asked the guy at the desk, can I have a really high up room so I can get beauty sleep and I don't hear loud noises like sirens and everything all night? And he put me on the third floor next to the early morning banging hammer guys. So this morning, I was like, bang, 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 bang. So I'm kind of that's why I had too much coffee in them.
We don't have a guest room at our house that can accommodate you and your former policeman husband.
Yeah,
we just have a tiny little
big.
Yeah, what I'm saying, we just have like a tiny single bed.
Yeah.
And so we weren't able to work it out, but next time
Well, he
can maybe
sleep
we can
on
work
the floor
it out.
Maybe.
Isn't he like a Cherokee Indian?
Yeah, Chickasaw.
So he doesn't really even sleep, right? Like he just lies there
and
pops up.
He just lifts weights all the time.
Vicky, unfortunately we have 2+ minutes left to fill. What are we going to do?
I could sing another song.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Broken World, baby.
Your songs are very cute, but...
No, this is the best one I ever wrote.
Yeah? Oh, all right.
Cancer inspired it.
I saw you standing there. Go ahead.
Tattoo of a broken ukulele. Light blue turquoise lies. He might leave me in the middle of my chemo. I would not be so surprised. Yeah, I got cancer and so does my dog. My car won't start and my sink has a clog. My checks are bouncing but my trampoline's torn. I am not surprised because I've been warned. It's a broken world, baby. I know you agree. The second law of thermodynamics says the world is in a state of entropy. That's a fancy word for broken, you see. Remember this song?
Yes, I love it.
Lanny's back is causing him pain. Bob's OCD is driving Donna insane.
Uh-huh.
Dilbert's dad, he needs a diagnosis. I quit kissing Daisy because she had some halitosis. Daisy's my dog. I just got, my heart is broken and I stubbed my big toe. I just got fired and my food is GMO. I accidentally stepped onto my ukulele, rushing to say hi to my new neighbor, the Israeli. Well, you try to rhyme with ukulele. It's a broken world, baby, since even Adam gave in. But there's a new world coming. That's why my song has a grin. That's why my song has a grin. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. I'm gonna meet him in the sky. In the twinkling of an eye.
Unbelievable.
Oh, funny story.
No, story. Oh, that look. Was, how do you get...
Look.
That's so cute.
There's a hole in
there's
my
ukulele. Yeah.
Because right after I sang that on stage... At a show about 3 months ago,
yeah,
my high, I tripped on a wire, dropped the uke, my high heel went through right there. See, the wood's in there. And, it still sounds good, and I had just sang the line. I had just sung the line. Yeah. I accidentally stepped onto my ukulele.
You're kidding.
Then I stepped on it. And
people probably thought it was intentional, like when Dick Shawn died.
And you know what? My friend said, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Be careful what you say, because
I'm so sorry we're out of time. Vicky, happy birthday. God bless you, my friend. You have to come back to New York, and please do bring your husband, because I like him. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yay,
portions of today's program are sponsored by Food for the Poor.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.